Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, Alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, we covered the beautiful life, the seerah of our beloved Nabi, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa Mujtaba, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of course the seerah can't be covered in 1 month. And so inshallah, we want to continue in our Jumu'ah sessions with the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and hopefully to cover as much as we can of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so we got to the period of time when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam got married to Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, and he was 25 years of age. Alhamdulillah, Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, we covered briefly her life, her seerah, that she was the first lady chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she is also the first one who accepted Islam on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so a very special woman. MashaAllah, this marriage lasted for nearly 25 years. So that's a very long period. For 25 years she was the only wife and the only lady in nikah to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the mother of all the children. And so a very special woman. From the age of 25 years to 35 years, we don't see in the books of seerah any significant events that have been mentioned. From the age of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 25 years to 35 years, in the books of seerah, not much has been mentioned. Nothing significant has been covered in the 10 years, that decade of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Scholars have mentioned the wisdom for that is that this age, 25 to 35, is the prime life of a human being. From 25 to 35. That is your prime life. MashaAllah. That is the time you are young. That is the time everything is make and break in life, and you know which direction you are going to go. After 35... starts the decline. Very slowly, it's a very gradual process. Even your beauty slowly starts to fade away from the age of 35. And then it continues There's a decline there all the time. But until 35, you are in your prime years of your life. And so during the prime years of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do we learn from the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Perhaps in the modern world, the most important lesson that we learn in the seerah is this from the 10 years of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we learn is that Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his time to his family. He established a home for himself, mashallah, and dedicated his time for his family. And it is in this period of time, the 10 years, from 25 years to 35 years of age, that all the children of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were also born. So what we see is that where the Quran is telling us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example for you. He is the role model for you. In him there is the best example. So the best example in everything. And so what we see is that sometimes when you are very, very busy in life, you don't give time to your family. You don't give time to your family. And this very wrong rhetoric that we hear often, it's quite ajeeb that when a person is career oriented, and that he does a lot of overtime, he does night shift, he is working also after hours, long hours, then everybody wants to praise him and they say, mashallah, you know, he's very motivated. He's very hard working man. Very hard working man. This very hard working man doesn't give time to his family. He's a very hard working man. But then that person who, mashallah, will work enough hours for him to provide rizq and food for the family, but he will want to invest a lot of time also with the family and spend quality time with the family. And sometimes that person is taken to be very lazy, that he only works for certain hours and all the time he is only at home. Not like the other people who are working very, very hard. Night shifts, day shifts, long hours. Saturday, Sunday, they are working. What, you know? Subhanallah. A family-oriented man is not given so much credit as to that person who is a career-oriented individual. And especially nowadays, everyone is all busy. There is just no time. Never mind time for other people. Sometimes you are not even giving time to your family, to your immediate family. Subhanallah. And people are busy working. Some people even work abroad. Some people work outside of Leicester. Some people, when they come back at home, they are so tired, they just look at the wife and say, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. What do they say? They look at the wife and they say, oh, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Bichari, so the woman says, yeah, isme koi dam hi nahi hai bichara. Kya power hai? Isme koi power hai? What is he going to fulfill the rights? He's so tired, he comes back in the night, he looks at the wife, Allahumma bismika amutu. And then you get the career women also, they are also so tired. What are they going to do? Khidmat of the husband. She looks at the husband and says, ah, the microwave is there, the food is there, warm it. I'm tired, I got no time today. You do everything today, I'm going to sleep. Bichara, wo kya kare? So jao. So this is the kind of robotic life that we are wanting. We want this life. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar, you know, Subhanallah al-Azim. And when you look at the life of our Nabi, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the complete opposite. Who was more busy than Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who was more busy than the greatest Nabi? Everyone talked about this Nabi, our Nabi, whose name is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was more busy than him? Allahu Akbar. A statesman, subhanallah. He was running a government, basically. This is it, running a state. Leader, imam, and you name it, everything. But yet we see that his entire life he gave time to his family. But Allah says that he is the best example for you. The 10 years of the prime years, the 10 prime years of your life, 25 to 35 years, we don't see any significant events that have happened, that historically it had to be recorded, or the people have recorded this, that something major happened. We don't see that. Because he was a family man. He wanted to show the people and his followers how important it is that you must give time to your family. Give time to your family. And despite this busy schedule, subhanallah, he would have a nap and do qailullah in the afternoon in his house, allowing the family to see him. You see, when the head of the house is there, even if he's doing nothing, even if he's just there sitting on the sofa, when you look, you see the king of the jungle, the lion that is the king. Ha, to wahi hai na king of the jungle. Lokma dete ho yaar, jaise main wrong hu. Ha, to yehi hai na lion, to wo theek hai, lekin the king of the jungle. Aap mujhe confuse kar dete ho. Lukma dete ho, dete rahe, koi baat nahi. You have the right. But the king of the jungle, the lion, you see him. Even when he is sleeping, and when you look at him, he is the king of the jungle. Ek rob, ek dabdaba hai bhai. Your mother, your father, your grandfather, they have a special seat, that chair, the sofa that is there. Allahu Akbar. Your grandfather, the husband that is there, the noor that is there. For a person to be in the house, that in itself is rahmat. And we don't understand that. Allah's Nabi would do qailullah with his busy schedule. With his busy schedule at home. And he would always eat with his family. In the modern world today, we don't even see this. Everyone has their own timetable. One member will eat at 7:30, the other member will eat at 8:30, the other members will eat at 4:30, then the last person will eat at 10 o'clock. Different times. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, really study the seerah. He would eat with his family. Not only would he eat with the family, he showed so much respect and love to the women that he would put the first luqma in the mouth of the wife. Umar, are you listening to me? The first luqma he would put in the mouth of the wife. Have you done that? Huh? Say that. Look at him. Alhamdulillah. Have you done that, Mr. Umar? You've done that. Dekhe, you see? This is the barakat of coming in the majlis. He's done that. He would put the first luqma in the mouth. Biwi ko khilate the. Look at that. He would eat together, share the platter in one plate and put one luqma, first luqma in the mouth. Kitni zabardast baat. Look at the life of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a busy schedule, but he would still perform his sunnah and nawafil at home. He would pray his farz in the masjid and he would pray his nawafil and sunnah at home, giving time to the family. He would pray his tahajjud at home. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, our room was so small, like a, kya main kahun, room to chamber, you know, a small chamber, itikaf ke hote hai na. And that when he would want to do sajda, there was no space. So he would tap me and I would know that my Nabi wants to do ruku and sujood. So I would turn the other side and remove my leg so that he can do sajda. This is how small the room was. Can you imagine, my respected brothers? But look at Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the family man that he was. The honor and respect that he gave to the family. Subhanallah. And you know what? This is the time where Shariat is telling us that if you want to be the best husband, look at Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the best husband. If you want to look at the best father was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that period of time, all the children were born to Bibi Khadijatul Kubra. That period of time. Subhanallah al-Azim. And not only did he give time to his family, but he did tarbiyah of his own children. He did tarbiyah, had the time to do tarbiyah of his children. It wasn't like someone, you know, who is outside all the time and serving the people who are outside and depriving the people who are inside. That is what you see nowadays. That you are serving the people outside and depriving the people who are inside. Allah's Nabi was not like that. The main characters, the main people that were close to him felt that we are the most beloved. We are the most beloved. He did tarbiyah of his own children. Bibi Fatima, we know. Bibi Fatima, he taught her the importance of remembering Allah, doing the zikr of Allah. He said to his wives, عَلَيْكُنَّ بِالتَّسْبِيهِ وَالتَّحْلِيلِ. Don't just sit like that. Make sure that you are always doing the tasbih and the tahleel. La ilaha illallah and subhanallah. He said to Bibi Fatima in the night after Salah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, this tarbiyah that he did. He would teach them how to do wuzu, he would teach them how to turn to Allah, how to do ruku, how to do sujood. He would teach his grandchildren tarbiyah, how wuzu should be done. Hazrat Hassan and Hussein are narrators of ahadith. And they would directly say, we heard this from our grandfather. Who taught them? Kunut-e-Nazila, that we know. The narrator is Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. So what we see, mashaAllah, during the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this very beautiful seerah. This very beautiful life that we should take as a sabak in our lives also. That one is you become so busy in life that you don't even enjoy life. You are so busy in this dunya that you are not even enjoying life. And not only you are not enjoying life, the people around you who are related to you are not enjoying your company. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best father. He played with his children. He played with his children. And he would talk and show love to even the wives. You know, on one occasion, he was on a journey and he said to the Sahaba, you people move on one side and continue. And he said to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, let's have a race. Let's have a race. You know what is a race? To run. Let's have a race. And you know, she was not a woman who said, oh no, you know what, I'm not feeling well. Aajkal hamari aurte hoti hai na, shall we go out? Back is hurting, this is hurting, leg is hurting, sar is hurting, fala hurting, this hurting. Jao bhai. Forgive me, but sometimes, you know, that communication is also very, very important. Don't miss an opportunity when sometimes that opportunity is given to you. If the husband says, you know what, let's go out shopping somewhere. Oh, shall we go? Shall we not go? Oh, no, it's okay, I'll go. Usme hi reh jaoge phir. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala na ever ready? Yes. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, she was obviously in her physique. She didn't have a heavy body at that time. And so mashallah, in the race she won. And Huzur alayhi salatu was salam accepted that, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. Mashallah, you won, yes. Khush hui. Main to jeet gayi. Bahut acha. He would sometimes say to the wives that, you know, where did you drink water from? Where did you, you know, where did you put your lips? And he says, I will put my lips where you would put your lips. That's called romance. That's called, you know, love. Does Islam say no to romance? Or to be romantic? Or to say, I love you to your wife? No. This is all part of the seerah. Because the more you love your wife, the more your wife loves you, you will not want to go out anywhere else. When your rights are being fulfilled, when you are happy. So look at the beautiful life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A husband, a father, a great teacher, a murabbi of his own children, gave time to his children, gave time to his family. And this is what we lack today. People don't have time for their family. This is completely going against the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 25 years to 35 years of the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will see that not much has been mentioned. The ulama say the reason for that is Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a family man. He wanted to show people how important it is to give time to your family. And also the prime of his life, that is 25, 35, but for his entire life, what he did, he gave time to his family during the day, not during the night. He gave them time during the day. Isliye, as a family, go out for a holiday, go with your children, your grandchildren, take your wife out, go everywhere, mashallah. Don't get into this habit of just going out on a holiday with your friends. Yes, sometimes you can go with your company and friends, but your family, this is something very important, to give your children a memory. A memory for them to think and understand, and they would say, my dad took me here, my father was here, my father gave me this, my mom took me here, my mom did this for me, I went with my grandfather, I went with my they have some memories. These memories are so important. This will open up the doors of Sadqa Jariyah. Subhanallah Lazim. After Asr, Allah's Nabi would finish his Asr namaz like now. Such, you know, a busy schedule, a mission given to him. He is the Rasul of Allah 30 paras are to be revealed on him. 30 paras. 24,000 times Jibreel Amin came to him. How many times? 24,000 visits Jibreel Amin is doing, yet he has time to sleep in the afternoon, to show his face to the family, to pray sunnah at home, to do tarbiyah of his children, to look after his grandchildren, subhanallah, and even then after asr, and he had how many wives? 9 wives, bhai. Aaj to kisi ke, har ek ke paas to ek hi biwi hai na. Ek biwi ke liye hum waqt nahi nikalte. Allah ke Rasul ke paas 9 biwiyan. Asr ke baad he would go to one room, smile at them, greet them, always making them happy, and they would all think that, you know what, I'm the most special to my Rasul. This is what you call akhlaq. This is what you call akhlaq, my respected brothers. Really, this is what you call akhlaq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Tarbiyah used to come from the house first. In fact, when you look at the very first 18 generations, nearly to 20 generations of how we get our ahadith, how we get our ahadith, you will find the chain of narrators, a common theme. I heard the hadith from my father. I heard the hadith from my grandfather. I heard this hadith from my uncle. I heard this hadith from so and so from my family. This was the legacy. This is how Islam, subhanallah, spreads. That the family structure, the family unity is powerful. That is why the non-Muslim community has hasad with the Muslim community. That why is the family structure unbreakable? Why is it unbreakable? Why is the family structure so close-knit and strong, and this bonding that is there? That is the barakat of Iman and Islam. Barakat of Iman and Islam. Some of the young children are fools. You know, some people think, oh, you know what, oh, why am I being deprived of this and that and this and that? By make shukr that you have someone that is on top of you looking after you before a time comes where you have no one looking after you. Wallahi lazim, go outside and you will see how the youth are. They have lost their biological parents. They are into drugs. They don't know what to do. Allahu Akbar. Their life is in shambles. And they have lost everything. And they don't know what to do, bichare. Aaj hi main baat kar raha hu, ek gora tha. He was talking to him, he had a cigarette pack, so he offered me a cigarette. And you guys don't know I smoke, eh? You don't know I smoke? Huh? I don't smoke. I smoke. You think I smoke? No, I don't smoke. I don't smoke. Alhamdulillah. I don't smoke. Inshallah. But, so he goes to me, Imam, you want a fag? I says, no man, you carry on. So he goes, you don't smoke, do you? I says, no, the Imam don't smoke. So he goes, then the other person says, no. Gore the dono. Achhe to bichare. Main to bolta hu inke saath. He goes, no, not just the Imam. Muslims don't smoke and don't drink. Lovely people. See, you save money, you've got the best health, you save money, you people are the best. Why is he calling us the best? Because of our deen. We are not best because of we as individuals are good. No. If it was not Islam, if it was not our deen, if it was not our faith, we would not know what is right and we would not know what is wrong. But it is Allah who is taking care of us because He is our Rabb, Rabbul Alameen. He is already telling us what is good for you and what is not good for you because I have created you. If somebody else created you, then it was different. But go and have a look who created you. Go and have a look. If you find some other creator who claims that I have created you, then come and tell the imam. Come and speak to the Muslims that no, we found certain people who are saying, we created the sun, I have created the moon, I have created the star, I have created the earth, I have created the air that you breathe, I have created everything. Can you find that? Nobody makes that claim. Nobody can make that claim. Nobody makes that claim. It is only Allah. It is only Allah. He makes a claim of everything. You look at the Quran, everything, I am the creator. And he says every سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens, in the earth, does my tasbih. I am the creator. So all what we get from the good morals, my respected brothers, the seerah, what we are not supposed to be the slaves of materialism and a slave to this modern way of living. We don't have time to have lunch. We don't have time to have breakfast. We don't have time to have supper. Koi bichara diet karta hai to banana hi khata rehta hai. Phir bhi mar jata hai. Samjhe? Arey bhai. We don't have time to sit with our family. We don't have time to sit with people. We don't have time to sit with our neighbors. Sahaba ikram ajma'in were never like that. And dunya came to them. Whatever Allah has, allocated for you, it will come. I'll give you an example. Are you okay to sit? Are you going to be going home? Are you okay to sit? You're okay to sit, ne? Kahi aisa na ho, maine kuch der kar di, aap aainda hafte aaye hi nahi. You know, sometimes I get scared. If I pull a bit, you might say, we are not coming next week. Please don't do that. Now, mashallah, just give a bit of time. It is time from Asr to Maghrib. And if any brother wants to sit on a chair, wants to relax and stretch their legs and sit at the back, please do so. But listen, no problem. Yaha, there's a whole wall that's empty here and here. Mashallah, be comfortable and sit. No problem. But sunnah. You see, there are two people that studied in the same school, in the same college, same class, same teachers, same subhanallah subjects that they had taken, graduates of the same college, everything the same. But you will see one person is extremely rich. And another person, same education. In fact, he might even be more clever than that person. Same teacher, same book, same subjects. But then this person is not so well off. But that other person who was doing a lot of masti in school also, he seems to be very well off. Why? Why is this happening? Because rizq is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your education is on one side, your effort is on one side, which is all very important. But how much he needs to give any one of you, that allocation is in the knowledge of Allah. Kisko kitna dena hai, that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is with Allah. So it is not your intelligence, it is not your kamal. Yes, it's important that you be educated, that you become a professional. All of these things are important tools for you to be, in that place of it being advantage. That is all good. But everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find some people who don't know maths, but are billionaires. There are some people who don't know how to sign, but they are extremely rich. Angutha chaav hote the, lekin paisa Allah ne bahut diya. Subhanallah. Because that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So khair, my respected brothers and elders, this very important message for us, from the age of 25 to 35, living with Bibi Khadijatul Kubra, and not only the life that he had for that 10 years, his entire life, the one thing that we see of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he was also a family man. That he gave time to his children, to his companions, to his family, to the people that were close to him. And so this is something, if we want quality life, so this is what we should also enjoy in life. Alhamdulillah, work hard, no problem, but to a limit. When you come home, close your business. Don't talk about your business. When you come home, everything ends by you do your business where you have to do your business. When you are out somewhere, then don't talk about business in the house of Allah. Don't talk about something, you know, where you are somewhere else. Unless, of course, it's an emergency. Then there is no problem. And so this is the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he gave everything to his family. So this sabak we must not forget, my respected brothers. If you are not doing night shift, if you are not putting extra hours as overtime in your job, but you are earning sufficient to look after your family, but you are investing time with your mom, dad, wife, children, daughter, sitting, that daughter, today she is with you, tomorrow she will be going somewhere else. And give her that time. That child, give that child that time. Spend time together, go for holiday together. Ye bahut badi cheez hai. Is mulk mein aap family ke saath jao. And there should be an understanding. A good wife accepts the husband as an amir. There is no problem with that. There is no competition. Respect, and you will earn respect. If you respect your wife, hopefully the wife will also throw back that respect to you. And then when we look into the other events, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned 35 years of age. So slightly just going a bit forward from 25 to 35. This is the main, mashallah, lesson that we learn. But when he was 35 years of age, one very important incident that occurred in the books of history, tariq and seerah, is that the people of Makkah, remember, he, Allah's Nabi is not yet officially a Nabi, remember? He's 35. And so he was a shepherd, then he became a businessman, and we learn from the seerah how important it is to be wealthy, but wealthy in a sense that will not deprive you from your duties to Allah. So then he was a businessman, and then he is taking the role and commitment to be a family man, establishing his own home, and then giving time. And then now slowly you see what is happening, is that the people of Makkah decide that the most sacred building, you know, the building that we have in Makkah Mukarramah, that is why Makkah is Makkah, because of the sacred building. The Kaaba that is there requires a renovation, requires a lot of work, and that the building is getting old. And so they decided that we have to do some major renovation works. So all of them agreed that we will, all the tribes wanted this honor, and they didn't want to miss out from this honor to do the works and to be part of this, that they can say that we have also been part of the renovation of this works. They knew that this building was constructed by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. And so it was decided, the first thing that was decided by them. Now even in Jahiliyyah, imagine my respected brothers, even in Jahiliyyah, they had some form of haya for the house of Allah. And they all decided that the money, the funds that we collect, the chanda that we do, has to be from your most halal income. Your most halal income. Now remember, in Arabia, this is in the Jahiliyyah period, prostitution was common. And you had pimps and people that would earn money in that way. Pubs and gambling and alcohol, liquor that was being served, usury and interest money and all sorts, every wrong was also visible there. And people were making money, and the wrong transactions, and you know, the powerful would loot those that were poor and not so strong. And so they all decided, no, the money that is put in the pot has to be completely halal. So that is why we also need to understand that our earning should also be halal. And especially when you are giving to the path of Allah, your earning should be very halal and very, very pure. We should also understand this. It can't be that you are playing lottery thinking that if Allah gives me money, I will give it in the path of Allah. No, you can't do that. You really can't do that. Allah is not muhtaj of your lottery money. Allah is not muhtaj of your lottery money. So your money, that source has to be very halal. So the reason as to why they wanted to renovate the Kaaba, some of the scholars have mentioned that during the floods, the water would come and it would actually damage the walls of Kaaba. And so that is why the walls were also very, very weak. And some have mentioned that what would happen is that the locals would want to put all their gold and silver inside the Kaaba, thinking that who dare would want to steal from the house of Allah. So this was a very safe location for us to put our funds. So they would actually put their funds. But subhanallah, you know, you always get that thief who has no respect for anyone. So there was a group of people that had broken the doors and damaged the walls and taken out everything from inside the Kaaba. They had stolen everything, all the funds that were inside. And so a lot of damage was done. So they decided that we will actually work and with the foundation. The mashwira was that from the foundation, we will do the renovation. They were all ready for that. It comes in the books of Tariq also, that there was this well on one side of the Haram also, not the Zamzam well. It was another well which was sealed and closed. But when the mushrikeen, the tribes were doing mashwara about this, a snake came out from this well. And it came out from this well, and they were all scared of this snake. And this snake kind of looked at the people and went around the wall of the Kaaba. And they felt that there was some kind of a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, they were very superstitious people. And then this snake slowly disappeared also. So they decided that, you know what, maybe it's a warning from Allah. Number one, our income has to be halal. And number two, we must not break the walls of the Kaaba as if we are demolishing a building as such completely. That we should do it piece by piece, piece by piece. And then repair it piece by piece. So not all of it comes down. So they felt that, look, we have to do it, but it is fine, we will maintain and do riayat of the adab. So they said, this is fine. So now all the other tribes were fighting that, you know what, we want to be part of this, we want to be part of this, and there was a possibility that they would fight and kill each other, the tribes. Walid ibn Mughira was a very intelligent man. So he stopped, he says, look, there is no need to fight. We will measure the walls of the Kaaba, and all the big tribes of Makkah, we will measure and divide the wall of Kaaba to each of the tribe, that this is your section for renovation. That this is your section of renovation. They got all happy. So all of them got their part, and they were standing, the families were standing there. Remember, this is the Kaaba. But nobody wants to demolish the walls. Nobody wants to bring any brick down from the Kaaba. They were all scared. They were scared that if we are to do this, and if Allah does not accept this, then we will be punished by Allah. Just like what had happened to the army of Abraha, remember? Abraha, the army of the elephants, they were wiped out. So 1 minute they were fighting each other, the next minute they are all scared. Nobody has the himmat to actually remove even the first brick of the Kaaba. Nobody is doing. In this fear, it's nearly Maghrib. Again, Walid ibn Mughira showing a bit of bravery. He says, alright, since you people are not doing anything, I will do it and I have a good intention and we all have a good intention and we will not be punished. So slowly in the night, he started by removing the cement or whatever it was there, the adhesive, and then removing the blocks one by one slowly, the rock moving it. And then it got very, very dark and they stopped. They stopped and they looked at Mughira. Everybody is looking at Mughira. You know, maybe a lightning will come down and strike at him and kill him, or some azab of Allah will come. And if he dies, it's okay. At least we will be saved. So they looked at Mughira. Mughira to bahut, mashallah, you know, all night, in the evening, he survives everything. And then they decided that, you know what, maybe late in the night, the punishment of Allah can come. So we've stopped and we'll see if Mughira survives till the morning. Then it's fine. Anything that happens to Walid, then we will not continue with this mission. Subhanallah, in the morning, Walid ibn Mughira is the first one to wake up. The first one to wake up and all prepared and saying, you know, let's go. So when they looked that Mughira is fine, they felt happy that maybe Allah has accepted this. Remember, superstitious people. So they started now slowly knocking down the Kaaba wall piece by piece and repairing everything. Then they got to the foundation. They got to the foundation, Asase Ibrahim, that foundation of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which because of many, many years had become greenish and it was very solid also in color. And they were trying to break it, but it was very difficult to break that foundation. And so when they were trying to strike at the foundation of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, all of a sudden there was this earthquake. The city of Makkah, that zameen shook, subhanallah. And they were shaken in the city of Makkah Mukarramah and all panicked. And they realized and they got together. And they did mashwara. What has happened? That when we were removing blocks from the top, it was fine. But when we touch this foundation, this is what happens. And so they decided that maybe it is from Allah that the renovation comes from the top of the asas of Ibrahim. We are not to touch the foundation of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is how they continued their, mashallah, construction, renovation, during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was 35 years of age. Inshallah, we will continue with the seerah in our session, inshallah, next week also, inshallah, after Asr Salah. Mukhtasar dua kalle. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Rabbi ighfir warhamu anta khayrul rahimin. Sami'na wa ata'na. Ghufranaka Rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.